Hello there, and welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist Podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, and today I'm going to tackle a question that I get often from parents. How many service hours should my kiddo be getting? If you don't know what service hours are, take a peek at your IEP, your Individualized Education Plan or Program, and they should be outlined in there. I want you to keep this in mind. Needs drive services. So more is not always better, but let's dive in. So you're sitting at the table, an IEP table, and the team says that your kiddo is going to get 30 minutes of speech therapy a week. Immediately, your brain goes into overdrive. Is that enough? Should I ask for more? What is the right number of hours in service for my student? I get it. I've sat at these meetings. I've worked with families who have asked these questions. We naturally want to believe that more support equals more progress. But here's the thing. It's not just about the hours, it's about the alignment with the goals that are in your student's IEP. So as you prepare for an IEP, I want you to think about what are we prioritizing as you prepare for that meeting? What are my goals? What are the things that we really need to look at so that you can start thinking about service hours? This is what I'm going to break down for us in our episode today. What service hours really mean, how are they determined, and why more hours doesn't always equal better support. Also, I'm going to let you know a little tip on how to advocate for services that actually will help your kiddo make some progress. So here we go. Let's dive in. First, we're going to talk about service hours, what they actually are. So an IEP is designed to provide that individualized support, that specialized education. The keyword here is individualized. So that means there's no magic formula that says every kiddo with dyslexia needs 60 minutes of reading intervention, or every kiddo with ADHD needs X amount of executive function coaching. Service hours are determined based on your kiddo's IEP goals. Needs drive services, meaning the skills they are working on, the level of support they need to meet those goals, and the best way to deliver that support. So services can certainly look different, right? So we have direct services. And what I mean, that can be one-on-one therapy or small group instruction with a special educator. That one-on-one therapy could be with an OT, a PT, speech language pathologist, reading intervention specialist. So direct service, one-on-one. Indirect service are teacher consults, accommodations within a classroom. What I do want you to think about as well is who is the teacher of record? So meaning that if we're doing one-on-one therapy, small group instruction, who is the teacher that's responsible for giving data on a goal that's in an IEP? What does teacher consultation look like? So you're going to want to ask, how many minutes a month are we consulting with the teacher? How do I know if we consulted? What does that mean? What does that look like? So again, asking those questions is going to better clarify your understanding and hopefully improve outcomes of that IEP. And then, are we implementing accommodations within the classroom? What does that look like, and who is the teacher of record for that? So it can be the general education teacher that is responsible for giving data on a goal for our quarterly progress. If you're not sure about quarterly progress, go back and look at our earlier episodes on IEPs and quarterly progress. So the goal isn't just to fill a time slot. It is to provide what is effective for that individual student. Let's bust a couple of myths here. More hours does not equal better support. That is myth number one. I get why we think that way. More always feels like more, but research shows that the quality matters more than the quantity. And so a student getting one-on-one targeted instruction for 30 minutes perhaps could make more progress than sitting in a group setting for an hour. Myth number two, every student with the same diagnosis needs the same service hours. Nope. Every child is different. What works for one may not work for another. So comparing IEP service hours doesn't really help us. It's really, again, honing in on what our students need. That's why that parent input statement is very powerful when you're heading to an IEP, so that you have thought through the process of what's worked, what hasn't worked, and what we need to really focus on to bring my student, our student, to the next level. Myth number three, the school decides service hours and parents can't change them. Nope, not true. Parents, you remember you are that equal member of an IEP team. You have the right to ask the questions, you have the right to review data, and you have the right to request changes if services aren't supporting progress. So, how do we make sure service hours are effective? We're always going to look at that progress data. Is your child making meaningful gains? That's the main question. Are they making gains, making movement, making improvements, shifts towards the IEP goals that are identified in that IEP? Consider the method of instruction. So sometimes pull-out support is really helpful for our students. So think a general education classroom, we're going to pull that student out to give them direct, explicit instruction. Or is push-in service more effective, meaning that we're going to have a special education teacher join the general education teacher within the general education classroom and to provide those support. So, two different types of instruction. Some is better. One is could be better for one student and the other could be better for the other student. So, really having that conversation of what does that instruction look like? Where is specialized instruction and how does that align to the IEP goals? Think about sustainability. So, sometimes too many hours can overwhelm a student rather than support them. So it's really striking that right balance of understanding, is pulling out my student X amount of hours a day, what does that look like for the student? And how does that overall look from that kind of bigger picture view in terms of getting them the service and support that they need? All right, so how do we advocate for services that actually work? I want you to ask these questions at your next IEP meeting when you're drafting that IEP for the following IEP cycle. And remember, I'm saying cycle here, but you can always have those IEP meetings and conversations throughout the year. And we can always make an amendment to an IEP if we need to. So you're going to ask, how do these services align with my child's IEP goals, these service hours, I should say? So, really asking, how do they align? What does the progress data show? What are the quarterly progress? What does that look like? Are we showing improvement in movement? Are there alternative ways to support these goals? And parents, I would encourage you to kind of think outside of the box. Again, prioritize the needs. So you possibly could be coming with some out-of-the-box ideas that really align with the school nicely, that is not asking them to go above and beyond, but really complementing, I should say, what they're doing in the classroom and working together as a team player. Always remember, you do not have to go into that IEP meeting alone. If you're unsure, you can bring an IEP coach like myself, you can bring an advocate, you can bring an educational therapist, also like myself, or you can bring a neighbor, a friend, an auntie, somebody that's just there as moral support that is removed from that fear and love that we have as parents. And even you can request a progress review before the next IEP. Final thoughts. So, what I want you to take away from today's conversation in this episode is more service hours don't always mean better support. It's about the effectiveness, not just the time. You have, as a parent, the right to ask questions and advocate for the best services that you can receive or your child can receive, I should say. And the key to success is always aligning our services with well-written IEP SMART goals. And I have a solo on that as well. So, if this episode resonated with you, please, please share it with another parent or educator. If you're looking for more ways to advocate effectively, go ahead and check out my course, Cracking the Code to Special Education Eligibility at learningessentialsedu.com. Thanks for joining me today. And until next time, I want you to keep advocating, keep strategizing, and keep believing in your kiddo's potential. Thanks for joining me, and bye for now.